Sports Saturday with Joe Fisher and Rashad Taylor.
A three wins the series. It's Lillard. He got the shot off.
Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
There will be a humongous party in Corvallis tonight. The Beavers spring a trap and shock the college football world.
105-1.
Ducks rush only three. Winston has all day. Tries to escape. Circles back. Still alive.
And 1080.
Loses the football. Ball comes out. It's scooped up by the Ducks. Streaking to the end zone.
The Fan.
Get out the way.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Saturday right here on 1080. Wait, no, 105.1, the Fan Global Sports Network.
Yeah, it's going to take some time.
Smooth.
Yeah, right? That's a great way to start.
I'm confused. I'm flustered. I don't know what to do here. My headset cord is all jumbled up. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Today's starting weird. Like, for whatever reason, the charger that's worked literally every single week all of a sudden doesn't charge my phone. Trying to figure out what that's all about. But, hey, man, it's Saturday.
Yeah, it is Saturday. For those of you who do not know us because you have not listened to our show, Sports Sunday, and boy, we really had to work hard on the name of this show.
Man, they really workshopped that, didn't they?
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of focus groups, P1s of the Fan come in for meetings, countless meetings. We were behind the scenes working on it, and of all the things that we had on the table, we came up with Sports Saturday.
I mean, it has a ring to it. I mean, it's two S's, I suppose.
Hey, it's a show on Saturday, and it's about sports. What do we call this thing?
I mean, hey. Yeah, I mean, I guess it works, you know. I mean, great job. Great job, Ups.
Well, I am Joe Fisher. Across the faux marble table is Rashad Taylor.
Taurus.
And across the glass with us actually today is not Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz is usually our everyday producer, but he is out doing anniversary things with his wife.
That is right. He had some responsibilities today.
So today we have Jeff effing Rust with us. What is up, dude?
The one and only.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Probably better than you. You have had quite the week.
I'm not the only one. Many of us around here have had quite the week.
Russ,
yes, we've all been kind of burning the candle at both
but
ends.
You're the real MVP, Russ. Like, you've really been all over the place.
I came into that studio yesterday to get the show open and the elements in there, and I could tell Russ was just done with this week. He was at his wit's end.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was going through it.
Yesterday afternoon at about 3:30 after I finished all the podcasting and stuff, that was a nice big exhale.
Yes, and inhale of the dube at home probably afterwards.
Yeah, more than likely, man. Well deserved. Yeah, you know, in that right.
Yeah, no, but we're Sports Saturday. Again, if you have not heard of our names or heard our voices before, Rashad and I, we've been over on Sunday. Rashad longer than me. Rashad for 10 years.
11
Sports Sunday. 11 years.
Yeah,
don't sell him short.
Yeah, don't do that. Give me all my flowers, bro.
I jumped on Sundays back in 2020 as a producer, and then once Mike Lynch went on to do bigger and better things, jumped over onto the host side of things. So we had been rocking on Sundays for the last couple of years, and then with this move and everything over to FM and the lineup change and a bunch of other decisions behind the scenes, we're like, hey, let's throw the guys on Saturday morning. And so here we are, Sports Saturday going forward. Rashad and I got you covered leading into Ducks games in the fall once we get to that point in the season.
Always a good time.
Yes, yes. Dude, I'm getting so excited for football. It's one of those where it's like, yes, it can start tomorrow and we want it, but it's also like the slow burn of like, we still have 6 weeks and slowly started to pay attention to like teams and rosters and who's where, who transferred to what school, what free agent went where. It's like every day I'm reading something new and looking something up, and I'm just like, oh my God, please.
Well, we're right there. Like, I mean, it's literally right around the corner. You know, we're talking a Hall of Fame game. Is it in a couple days?
Yes, I believe it's on the 31st.
Yeah, 31st. So the Hall of Fame game is like Thursday. or something like that. So we are right in the midst of football starting and really preseason starting, which I understand none of us are crazy about preseason. But it is a sign to let us know that here we go. Things are gearing up. We can really start talking football. Fantasy leagues are starting to be had and held and everything like that. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It's a small signal that the football season, the holidays are about to begin.
You just reminded me that I have to set up my fantasy draft big board because I will be going out of town the weekend of my draft and will have no service. So I literally feel like, and this is going to be my first forte into fantasy football in maybe like 5-6 years. I'm on a hiatus and I'm getting back into it, but I need to literally set up my big board like 1 through 150. So that way when I auto pick, it's the players in the order that I want it.
I got to be honest, man. After years of fantasy football, I'm cool.
Like
I don't want to play anymore. Here's the cold part. Like
you're hanging up the keyboard.
Here's what fantasy football has done for me. I'm not a red zone guy. I will watch it, especially if I'm with friends who like want to watch red zone, everything. Okay, cool. I get it. But that's not how I want to enjoy football. And watching red zone, you don't get a chance to see the whole story. Right. You only see like big plays in some occasions. So I really like to be able to sit down and really dissect a game. And this way I kind of know what I'm talking about. So I don't really want to watch or want to do fantasy only because, like, let's say I'm in two leagues and in one of my leagues,
the classic cheering for a player and also being pissed that he scored at the
same
time.
Man, it's like, yeah, that's crazy. Or if I'm literally rooting for my team. I am a Patriots fan, for those of you who didn't know. So I'm rooting for my team to win, but they might have Stephon Diggs. The guy I'm playing against has Stephon Diggs. So yes, we score, but damn it. Like he got, so it's
yes!
Like, I'm always conflicted and I don't get to enjoy the game. Like I'm hoping somebody gets another 4 points and then I'll be good and I'll win this. And he gets just another 13 points and I'll be okay. And the game will be over. And it's like, I don't want it. That's not enjoyable for me to watch the game. I just want to watch it and kind of enjoy it and playing fantasy sometimes takes that ability away from me. So I think this year I'm going to hang it up. And then I'll be honest, after like week six, I don't really care anymore. Seriously, I'm not changing rosters. I forgot dudes had bye weeks. It's one of those things. Oh man, this dude's been hurt for 4 weeks. Has he? Whoops.
I think it's just you giving up.
No,
at that point you're probably like 1-5 or 1-4, and you're just like, you know what? Yeah, there's no point.
And on top of that, I just forget. You know, honestly, the Thursday game, I always like forget to change the roster, and so I leave somebody out, and that ironically, that dude has 50 points that game. And I left him on the bench. And so I just always kind of forget. So I'm like, I'm cool. Never mind.
What broke me in fantasy football a few years ago was my team was great. Like I was first or second in the league in points scored. But I also was first in the league in points against. And so I was playing everybody when they were having the best week of their life.
Yes. And probably losing every game by like a point.
My
two
defense
points.
was leaking like a sieve, allowing all these points. It was unacceptable. And that broke me. That was one of those where I was like, I can't do anything about this. I can field the best team possible, but I can't prevent someone having the best week of their season against me week in and week out. It happened every single week, and I was done. I was broken by that.
That also, I'll be honest, that kind of played into why I'm done this year is because, again, I had a great roster. My draft, when we had the draft, I had the third overall best draft of like 12 guys. So So it was great, right? And then all of a sudden go out and just the team was just trash. Just trash. And so it was like, man, this is weak. So had a great squad. Didn't really matter. Had a couple great quarterbacks, all that stuff. Didn't really matter. So, man, I'm stressing myself. And I lost money doing it. Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. Nah, I'm cool. Like I'm gonna go ahead and just say the nay no on fantasy this year.
Oh, Pootie Tang reference.
Sadate. What a great film.
Pootie Tang? I mean
Pootie Tang is super dumb. Let's start there.
It's a film.
But in a good way. Like this is a terrible movie, but it is super funny with a lot of little quotables in there.
Most of them
aren't even words. Wada ta, my Damie. But you know what I mean, you know? You get it.
I feel like I need to get some clips of just Bob Costas from that show.
That was awesome.
One scene where he's talking to Pootie Tang.
When he's doing,
what the hell did you just say? Oh, comb me down on the panty side. Okay. All right.
I remember Pootie Tang from the Chris Rock show is where that first kind of debuted. Yeah, Chris Rock had a whole like talk show slash sketch comedy thing that he did on HBO for a long time. And Pootie Tang is the first time I saw that. And so that whole Bob Costas bit at the end, we're like, what the hell are you talking about? Actually was a thing he and Chris Rock did on the show years before that. So,
well, I'm going to fill in.
Shout out to Pootie.
I'm going to fill in one of our listeners. He says, so no Sunday show anymore. Is that what I'm hearing? Yes. Sundays have gone away. No more Sundays. Rashad reluctantly sighs and shakes his head over there.
Man,
like, you loved the Sunday sod.
You
heard this news, I couldn't believe how attached you were to Sundays.
Hey, man, listen.
I was like, oh, my God.
Sundays are where
it's one important. Day.
It is one day, but I mean, it was Sunday, though.
It was my day, though.
It was, yeah, that, you know, it was kind of the thing. Like, so, yeah, I'm a creature of habit. So, doing stuff the same way over and over again, you know, so... Yeah, the move was a bit of a surprise, but you know, thinking about it, Saturdays are always cool though. Like, I mean, but Sundays, for whatever reason, I'm always up early, so it never really bothered me that we had to be at the station. Especially, we used to start sports Sunday at that point at like 8 a.m., and then we decided to change that because super dumb.
Who shows up for a show at 8 a.m. on a weekend?
Even worse, yeah, right? That's
oh, what's
craziness.
Up? Swag,
oh,
right, Swag's right here? The oh, there.
Our
oh.
ball. Hey, our hey, fault. Swag. Hey, boss. How you doing, buddy? So, it was one of those things. And coming to prep, it, like, this shout out to Dirt and Sprague, number one. I've done Dirt and Sprague before. You've hosted Dirt and Sprague before. Yeah. That 6 a.m. start time is a beast. And if we're coming to like prep or anything before, or just kind of showing up just a little bit before, that means you're getting here at 5 o'clock, 5:15, maybe a little bit before that. Like,
I mean, who would host or produce a show on weekdays at 6 a.m.?
Oh, hey, Swag. I'm sorry. He's still here.
God, oh, go home. What are you doing? Don't you have golf to play? What the hell?
Swag,
get out of here.
Yeah, Swag has a Murphy bed somewhere in the studio. I guarantee it.
Like, dude, after this week, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, you know what? Let's just put in a bed.
I'm almost for sure Russ slept here. On the couch, on one of the big yellow couch.
Thought about it.
Yeah.
Dude, it was quite the week. Shout out to everybody that actually, you know, had bigger fish to fry when it comes to this move. I mean,
and also
Russ, Swag, Buckley,
100%,
and then all the show hosts Monday through Friday, hyping it up, the move over to FM and the new schedule. Shout out to Boss Man Cooley and Brand Man Dusty Hera.
Absolutely.
And shout out to a phenomenal sales staff for what they've done over the years.
There's one or two
station,
you guys, I mean, that's pretty good, right?
I know Luke's really been kicking ass, hasn't
man,
he?
That Kurt, man, has been killing, bro. So
Kurt wasn't even here yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't give him kudos.
Man, also, I got to say this, man. I have to say this. So I'm here at the station because of Hunt for the Host back 11 years ago.
Yes.
And two of my buddies, two of my Hunt for the Host brethren, got their opportunity to really be on-air talent throughout the week, man. And that's one, Patrick Harris. Shout out to my guy, Patrick. And also, man, shout out to my guy, Luke Anderson. Like, I know how hard those guys have grinded to be able to kind of... It's a tough, man. Everybody wants one of those slots. Like, it's a tough gig to get, and both of those guys really... really deserve it. So I'm super proud of them, man. Like, we were only supposed to be here for a year. I don't know if people know that. Like, this is year 11 for me. Like, that contract thing was for 1 year for each of us. And so here we are. And so I'm proud of my guys, and I'm proud of the new lineup, man. It looks awesome. And this is going to be a great, great go of it on 105, the fan.
Yes. 105.1, the fan, 1080, the fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube and Twitch. Me and Patrick got major beef.
You left you high and dry, though.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it did kind of feel nice Tuesday night not to have to do anything and just go home. Not going to lie, that was a nice change of pace. But
do y'all ever think about, man, I'm just going to crash here at the station. I'm not going. I don't know. Russ, where do you live?
Like, Bethany, near Tannisbourne,
okay.
Basically.
Not, okay. So, yeah. Close-ish in comparison to some of these guys, like this guy.
Yeah,
and like
Joe and
Jordan.
Danny that, yeah, live in
Newburgh. The boondocks for no reason.
Hey. Newburgh's a great American town, okay? Got the old-fashioned festival weekend, or this weekend. Big old fireworks and food and fair stuff and rides that are probably very suspect that you probably shouldn't get on.
I don't get on those rides.
I don't know if they've been maintained.
I always tell my son, when we go to the carnival or something like that, yeah, you're not getting on that. You're not getting on any of these rides. Just, I'm sorry. Things that you can just... assemble and then disassemble within like a couple of days. Like, yeah. I'm not good with. Yeah, no. I'm sorry.
I don't have a death wish.
Yeah, no, seriously. This big ass roller coaster just came out of nowhere 3 days ago, built by these high school kids. And I'm supposed to be like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I'd rather just a traveling crew with small hands and they smell like cabbage.
No, thank you. We are all good, man.
All right. You ready to sports it up?
Sports.
Yeah, I mean, we are in the dog days of summer. So as we get closer to football season,
going to have a better day to debut a show on Saturday. Just so many sports things going on.
Nothing's happening. I do want to get into a couple things locally here to start the show. We also had the NFLPA. They're going through a whole lot of legal issues, which isn't fun. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the NFLPA and their team grades. Every year they have the team report cards of like, what are their facilities? What grade do you give them? What is it like for family members? What is the food like? What does the nutrition look like? What are the facilities for the players like? And every team gets a grade in all these categories. And I like going over those to see like how these teams fare out on this side according to the players versus like their on-field success, and also just making fun of teams that got really bad grades as well. I think that would be fun.
I think that's fun. It's always fun to make fun of people.
And then I feel like we need to start previewing some divisions, man. We're
at that time.
It's yeah.
We're at that time.
So I feel like that we would start with the two divisions that people care about the least in the NFL, the South, AFC South and NFC South. But first, I want to get to something that happened last night and damn it, needs to happen here soon. We get that here next Sports Saturday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor right here on 105.1 The Fan and 1080 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. A masterpiece. Oh. That's right. Sports Saturday. Joe Fisher, the third. Rashad Taylor,
the first.
Senior. And Jeffrey Rust rolling with us today. Jordan Schultz not in because he is, I don't know if today is or yesterday or what, but he's doing anniversary stuff with his wife.
And this fool was talking about, I'm not sure if I'm going to be here. I have some anniversary stuff. Man, bro, if you don't, man, get out of here, man. What are you talking about? You're not going to get us in trouble or, you know, make your wife look crazy at us because you want to come in for your show on Saturday. Get out of here.
Dude, I just, God, I really want to be there for the inaugural episode of the Sports Saturday show in the 24th largest media market.
Can't miss it, right?
Yeah, my God. What will I do? My career will be forever changed if I do not show up to that one show.
Man, you better go spend time with your wife on your anniversary, man. Don't get in trouble.
Joke's on him. We're winning an Emmy because of this show today.
He didn't know, right? He didn't know.
He comes back. It's like, dude, Jordan, that was the best show we have ever done.
We got so many calls and texts. Yeah, people want to put us on bigger stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan will lose it. Jordan will lose it.
So, yeah, he's out with his wife doing anniversary stuff. I don't know. But last night, Odyssey Portland, we were rolling deep at the Pickles game last night.
Shout out to the Pickles, man.
Yes, shout out to the Pickles. And I wanted to, I wasn't like planning on talking about Pickles or baseball too much today. There is one other baseball thing that will come up in the show. But whenever I go to a Pickles game, I'm just like... I'm there and I'm like, so I was like, has anybody from the MLB to Portland group brought MLB to a Pickles game and shown them that? Because the fact that those games are as packed for a collegiate wood bat league that has no affiliation to Major League Baseball at all, you're going to tell me that baseball wouldn't work here? That Major League Baseball wouldn't work here.
Listen, man.
Like the berm grass area in left field and right field along the foul line, completely full. People are, we had the hot corner like VIP tent for Odyssey Portland. There are people that were sneaking into there that we've never seen before in our life. Like that's like, there's people all over the concourse. Bathroom lines, concession lines are super long. Like, every time I've gone to a Pickles game, it is packed to the gills. And I was talking to one of the guys that works there last night. He's like, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we get more seating in here and trying to figure out how to expand it. And so part of me reluctantly, you know, says like, well, we can do that with the Pickles. Like, why can't we do that with an MLB team? But then that means that the Pickles would probably cease to exist.
Unfortunately. Like, and what be a casualty.
Yeah, what they've done is so unique that it's one of those like... It's almost hard to like put into words that It's not serious like an MLB franchise, right? Like where we need to win and have results in order to make this, you know, make sense and keep the fans happy and keep them coming. It's like for the Pickle Jam, people show up for Dill, for the promo nights, just for the fun atmosphere that has been laid there. And so, well, again, reluctantly, I'm like, if we can do this, we can definitely do an MLB team. But part of me is like, well, maybe just keep our pickles, man. Keep our little pickles. Well, keep our gherkins out there.
I think there's a way to do both. You know, I think the Pickles would have to be incredibly strategic about looking at the major league schedule if it was in Portland and then saying, let's not have games on these days. Let's make sure we kind of schedule games for, because it is a different experience. And if you've ever been to a double A game or like a triple A game or something like that, like the environment there is just different than at a major league ballpark, right? It almost kind of, you're almost there for all the antics and everything that's happening around the game and not necessarily the game. The Pickles games are just fun. Like, yes. I mean, if you've seen them on TV, like the Savannah Banana games are just fun. You know, it's just kind of, it's a different baseball fun kind of vibe. And it's something for families. It's something you can do for hella cheap. You know, like if you have a date or if you have kids or if you have something like that and you just want to be outside, like the Pickles games are a great opportunity to do that. I do think they can coexist with a major league team. And I just think they have to be more strategic about when they kind of schedule their games. Because it is a very different market than It is a very different game, I will say, than the major league game. Obviously, yeah. There's not as many things around the game that are kind of going on to, you know, kind of give it that fun feel. But yeah, listen, I worked it, and I've said this before, for those of you who are just listening for the first time, remember PGE Park?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? Or Civic Stadium?
Believe it or not, still there.
Yeah. If you're Civic Stadium, you know, for me, I'm at Grand High School, and that's where we played our football games for a long time. Was
go hit some old Portland Beavers games there.
And that's what I was about to say. Those Beaver games, that was the best part of my summer. Seriously, from I want to say 17 till about 19, the Beavers games were so much fun.
And of course, a very famous moment there when what was the guy's name? I want to say Rodney McRae ran through the wall in the outfield.
Yes,
yeah,
the ball. Iconic like sports clips and the highlights of all time.
So it's like, man, I remember that environment. I remember the feel of the games, just the beer garden, like everything. Like Portland loves baseball. Like, let's be 100%. Like, we don't have a baseball team, but they would flock to a baseball stadium here if it actually came. So, yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I'm not sure if they've actually ever taken any investors or anybody to, you know, a Pickles game or to a Hops game or something like that.
Now I'm envisioning, like, old white dudes in, like, full suits at a Pickles game. Like,
looking around, like,
yes, I think this will do quite nicely here. Yes.
They've got huge hot dogs here.
Dude, those are made in a lab somehow. Well, I guess hot dogs
more than likely, yeah.
Hot dogs are kind of already made in a lab.
I don't want a homemade hot dog either.
All made with lips and a-holes.
Yeah, we're good.
Do you remember the old The Great Outdoors movie?
I haven't seen Great Outdoors with John Candy
and Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Great movie.
Great movie.
I'm telling you, there were hot dogs there last night. I think it was like their all beef, you know, whatever dog. 10 inches and girthy. Like that was, and
whoa, mark that, Russ, please. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That would be a big fat wiener, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Jeez Louise.
Dude, I they are clearly overcompensating for something because the hot dogs they were having, I was like, you know what? I'll just take the German sausage. I think that will be just fine for me. There are people walking around with these. They were bigger than my forearm. It was.
Russ, mark that one as well, please.
Yeah. It was insane. I'd never seen a hot dog like that before in my life.
Did you eat it?
No.
Did you put it in your mouth?
No. And then Suke, because he was at the game too, he saw me come back with my German sausage, and he's like, what is that with your cowardly hot dog? And I'm like, I'm not eating a 2-pound hot dog.
I don't know. I just don't trust it. Like, one of the things
and
about
also,
hot dogs,
it made me, the hot dog was intimidating and made me question myself, and, you know, so.
Yeah, I understand. So you got the smaller German one, right?
Yeah, made me feel better about myself.
There you go. Listen, I'm going to be honest, man. I won't be shamed into not enjoying a glizzy or enjoying a hot dog. I'm not going to do that. Listen, they are, that's an American as apple pie. I will absolutely have a great hot dog, man, a hot link or whatever.
I will gobble some glizzies for sure.
Put it between two buns and we got it, man. Absolutely, man. So I won't, like I said, I just made some bacon wrapped sausages the other day, all the onions and stuff on top of them. Man, they were awesome.
Well, you can
put them on the grill.
You can get rid of the onions, but
no, the onions, the peppers, all that jazz. Some fancy mustard. Like, let's go. Are you a mayo on your hot dog guy?
No, I mean, like, if someone prepares me a hot dog and mayo is on there, along with other condiments. I would not have like just mayo on the hot dog.
Putting mayo on the hot dog is crazy to me.
But if it's mayo, mustard, and ketchup, like, yeah, that's good. That's adds crazy. A little bit of sweetness to it. You know, I don't mind it. But if I'm making hot dogs at home, I am not putting mayonnaise on there. I'm just putting some ketchup and mustard, and we're good to go.
Yeah, there's no mayo on my wiener.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Hope not.
Yeah. The last night, and it did spur in the conversation last night of what condiments you put on your hot dog. And I'm trying to remember who last night said that I think it might have been the BTJ. She was there too. And she said that she goes hot dogs, no condiments.
Oh, gosh.
Just dog and bun.
That's, I mean, I don't want to say it's serial killer stuff, but I mean, that's like coffee black, no sugar, no cream. Like, ew, who wants that?
Dirt does it too.
Yuck.
I've seen Dirt do that. It was like a month or so ago. We were golfing over at East Moreland, and we hit the turn for some food and drinks, and he gets his hot dog, and the guy's like, oh, condiments are right over there. And Dirt goes, oh, no, thanks. I raw dog it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy work, Dirt. I got to be honest, man. Like, for me, man, it's mustard if they have it, and that could be fancy sauerkraut. Like, that will be absolutely fine, you know, hopefully. And I'm always going to defer to Costco is the greatest hot dog ever. Man, like, if I'm going to Costco, sometimes that was the only reason I would go. Yeah, I'll tag along with my wife to go to Costco just so I can get one of those delicious dogs. But, yeah, that's the only time I'll really go out and buy one. And then, for whatever reason, now, after every game, everywhere, there's somebody frying up some hot dogs after the Blazer game or after you leave the Pickles game.
Yeah, like, do you have permits for that?
Do you care?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Me either. Yeah. Make your money, man. I'm going to get one. Give me two. And then they told me they were $10. I was like, oh, just give me one then. Like, it's cool.
Well, Pickles put on another great show last night.
That's what they do, man. Get your family out to the Pickles games.
And it just makes me yearn for the day that we have MLB in Portland. And also that means that we wouldn't have to talk about the stupid Seattle Mariners anymore. So, I mean, that's a great point there.
Well, for right now.
Unless we have to talk about them. And, gosh, why aren't they good again? Why are they just underachieving yet again?
I mean, this is you get used to it. Once you live in this area, especially if you're a Mariners fan, I'm sorry, Mariners fans, but you just kind of get used to it. Hopefully they can, you know, maybe this is the year?
No. No.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I don't know, man. I know. I think we all know, but I mean, who doesn't want to be optimistic about the outlook?
Well, MLB to Portland, hopefully one day. Because then we would see cool things like what happened last night in one of the MLB games. I tell you what that is next here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. But first, Jeff Russ with the Sports Center update. 10 inches and girthy. That's right, Sports Saturday.
Get used to it.
Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor. We are now your co-captains on this flight.
Let's go.
What's your Victor? Roger?
Who's about to say, who's Roger?
Who?
Yeah, who's Victor? I don't know those guys.
Just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you. Airplane? No?
I haven't seen Airplane in 30 years.
I was going to say, I'm glad the sentence kept going, because if you were going to say I had never seen Airplane, no, then that would have been a major
been a
problem.
Really, really long time.
This would be our first and probably last Sports Saturday show.
I don't know if that's true, but yeah.
I just, until he watches Airplane, I cannot do this show with Rashad Taylor anymore.
No, yeah. You know there's a new Naked Gun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen the commercials. And
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it all the way.
I'll watch it. Oh, anyway, I won't go to the theater for it, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Give it 2 weeks and it's on a streaming service.
Something has to be really special for me to go to the theater now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's got to be. I'm not doing it for Jurassic Park anymore. They're not going to get any more of my money. I see what they're doing, man. No, that's not going to happen. I went to go see Sinners, the last movie that I saw in the theater. But outside of
that's on streaming services now, too.
It is. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
I started it, fell asleep.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah. It happens when you get old.
Yeah, it's on the agenda. It happens. You got to watch it mid-afternoon type right. thing. You know, if you watch it late night, you might end up falling asleep immediately.
Well, last night was a movie for one Nick Kurtz of the Athletics. Not the Oakland Athletics.
No, no, no. Not anymore, at least.
The Athletics. This dude for the Athletics, who I have never heard his name before in my life, went out and had 4 home runs in a single game.
Did the Al Bundy.
I repeat, he went out and had 4 home runs in a single game. One of actually the greatest individual performances in MLB history. 6 for 6, 4 home runs, 6 runs scored, 8 RBIs, 22-year-old rookie.
Jeez.
I believe they said he also tied a major league record with 19 total bases.
Right. Yeah. That is correct. Yeah. That is so dominant. Like, 4 home run games, I believe this is the 20th that's ever happened in Major League Baseball history. So, a sport with 162 games that's been played over 100 plus years, and something that's only happened 20 times. Like,
it's impressive.
Yes. And it just had me thinking, like, of other times in sports that we watched someone that was just dominating the entire game. Because, again, he went 6 for 6. It wasn't like he went 4 for 6 with the 4 home run. Like, he was locked
every
in.
Every time I was up.
The entire time.
I'm making contact, and most of them are getting knocked out of the park.
Single, home run, double, home run, home run, home run. That was his stat line, or each one of his at-bats. And so, yeah, I was just trying to think, like, for myself, and curious for you, Rashad, and you, Jeff Russ, and any of our listeners out there, you can actually text into the program, 503-864-6326. The most dominant performances you ever saw live and in person, and it doesn't have to be an NBA Finals game or Super Bowl or, you know.
Wait, I had to be there?
No, just that you even watch live on TV. Okay. Yeah, it did not have to be there live and in person, but I just remember one distinctly. The first one that came up to my mind was, and I thought it was his first game as a Denver Bronco, it was the first game of his second season. But when Peyton Manning, the first game of the year, his second season with Denver, threw 7 touchdowns, and I believe it was on Sunday Night Football, and I think at least 2 of those went to former Portland State Viking Julius Thomas. Mm-hmm. So shout out Vikes, blow the horn. That, to me, like, sitting there and watching that game in full and seeing him just go off like that, when other people in the room around you don't care about sports or don't know what's going on as far as the storylines and have heard of Peyton Manning, oh yeah, he's a pretty good quarterback, isn't it? And they're even sitting there in awe at someone throwing 7 touchdown passes, no interceptions, just locked in and being able to do whatever they want. That was one performance that popped into my mind as far as the most dominant single game performances.
Who were they
I've
playing that game?
I just had it up here. Let me, I can find out for you.
No,
I thought it was like the Steelers or something like that, but that was Baltimore. They were playing Baltimore so on a, it was a defense. Sunday night game.
Yeah, against a good defense in Baltimore and everything. So
27 for 42, 462 yards, 7 touchdowns, no picks.
And that was a Baltimore team that I think had just come off of a Super Bowl win at that point.
I believe, yeah, I think so. And so because they had beat the Broncos the year before in the playoffs. I think that was the Joe Flacco, Jacoby Jones, last-minute touchdown to beat the Broncos to advance. And so that's probably why they put him on Sunday night to start the season the following year.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man. For me, the first game that came up immediately was really Kobe's 81. So I remember I was living in Las Vegas at the time, and I remember being kind of asleep in my grandparents' house, and I hear my grandmother, she and my grandfather, my entire family, they're from Compton, California. So they're huge Laker fans. And so I hear my grandmother just really going off, and I'm just kind of asleep because she loves Kobe and everything. And then I hear my mom going off too, and I'm like, man, what's going on? And come out there, and like, Kobe's got like 50-something. I'm like, oh, shoot, okay. So I keep watching the game. And this fool just didn't miss. Like, everything he did, like, pump fake lay-in. And it was all so smooth and so easy and all the things he was doing. And then just to watch him hit 81 from the line was like, yo, I just saw somebody get 81 points in a basketball game. Like, that's insane. And Kobe's big thing over his career, and he'll get knocked for it, is like he wasn't very efficient. Like that'll be the big knock on Kobe for a lot of people, is the fact that he wasn't efficient. You'll never hear me say that, but whatever. But that game, everything he did was just like just effortless. And so that's one of the things you talk about, dominant performances. Like we've never seen anybody score anything like that. So to watch it in real time was like, and they were losing that game. That's the part people don't really say. Like they were losing that game going into the second half. And then he came out and just completely destroyed Toronto after that. That was crazy.
Jeff Russ, do you have a single game performance that you recall that was just like, this dude is just on another level above everybody else on the field and just, again, can do whatever he wants?
The first thing that popped to my mind, it wasn't an individual performance, it was a team performance. But I remember when I was a kid, and I don't think the game was actually even on TV, I was just listening on the radio, but the Blazers putting up, I think, 48 points in the first quarter against the Spurs. They couldn't miss.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I was a kid, probably junior high or something, maybe high school. But yeah, that's just 48 points. I think they led like 48-20 after the first quarter or something. And they went on to continue to pace the Spurs that night.
But the four home runs, dude, like we have seen plenty of three home run games. And then, you know, someone on the text line even brought up, I remember when Mike Cameron of the Mariners had four home runs. That is insane.
Was it Cameron? I know hard-hitting Mark Whitten did it.
Like, I thought it was Mike Cameron. Yeah.
We got to think about, and honestly, like, hitting a baseball, in my opinion, is the hardest thing in sports to do. Like, I mean, I understand having a great golf swing and being able to, you know, sink a hole-in-one from, you know, 1,000 yards away or whatever the case is, who cares? But it's just kind of one of those things. To be able to hit a major league baseball is hard enough. Be able to hit four home runs in a single game, like, that's crazy. And honestly, there's a lot, you know, luck is on your side. You're feeling great. Like,
do you quit baseball at that point?
That's as good as it gets. Like, you'll probably never have another game as good. You said 19 total runs?
19 total bases. Yeah.
19 total bases. Four home runs. You go 6 for 6, a hit every single time up. Like, now it sucks for him, for this rookie, because now people think that this is supposed to be the norm for him.
Well, I would hope not.
No, but for real. Like, people think, no, you had this great game. I remember when T-Mac remember that year he played for the Knicks and he was kind of banged up and everything like that. But he had his first game with the Knicks and had like 40. And everybody was like, oh, T-Mac is back. This is what he's going to get. And then after that, he 7-7-2-4, didn't score, DNP, like a whole bunch of those things. Hopefully this isn't the trajectory for this young man. Hopefully this is something we see. It's not Linsanity to where he does it for 4 weeks and right. Then we don't see it anymore. Hopefully this is something he can sustain for a career.
Did we know that this is the second four home run game this season?
This season?
Yes.
This is his?
No, not his.
Oh, I was about to say,
the second four home run game in Major League Baseball this season.
Who the hell did it earlier this year?
Eugenio Suarez in April.
That's right. He did.
Man.
In a losing effort to the Braves.
Shows how much I deserved a baseball show. I don't even remember. Now, here's the cold part.
I think they said, too, I was on my way in this morning, I was listening to ESPN radio, and I believe they said when Suarez did it, I think it was during the NFL draft, so that's probably why nobody noticed.
Nobody cared, okay.
But yeah, you're 100% right. He definitely, I am now recalling earlier this year when that happened.
Here's what I love about baseball.
So we've had two of the 20 in one season?
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Damn.
Here's the great thing about baseball, man. Like, It's a team individual sport. So your team can be ass, but if you're great, like, you can still, you know, get some Golden Gloves, some Cy Youngs. Like, you can still get all the awards and everything, like, even if your team is trash. You can still relish in the fact that you hit four home runs in a losing effort because it's four home runs. Like, if Kobe had that 81 and they lost, like, it would be, I mean, cool, he got 81, but the narrative would be, well, Kobe's a chucker. Of course he got 81. You know what I mean? If he did that in a loss, but the fact that they won is like, but in baseball, if Peyton Manning had lost that game where he had 7 touchdowns, they'd be like, yeah, he's 7 touchdowns, but he lost. That's typical Peyton Manning. That would have been the story for whatever, but not in baseball. You can have a game where you go into the eighth inning with a no-hitter and then lose and still be considered, man, having a great game.
Somewhere I read that, like you mentioned, like a single game performance, but still ended up in a loss. Someone said game one for LeBron in the 2018 NBA Finals, the J.R. Smith game.
Yeah, yeah, man, amazing, you know, and so it happens sometimes.
But I remember that game very much. He was just, oh my God, he was just doing whatever he wanted. So someone on the text line also brought up that he was a couple feet away from five home runs last night. And I'm looking at the highlights right now. His double that he hit, it hits literally 5 feet, maybe even less, below the yellow line of the home run fence. So he was that close to having the first ever five home run game.
I think I saw a graphic. It listed like six different MLB parks where that
would have been,
where that would have been a home run.
Dude, so close. So
that's
close.
Also the thing for me that sucks about baseball is that every park isn't created equal. So what would have been a home run at Fenway, you know, not so much, you know, for the Mariners. So that's the part that like kind of sucks for me. I don't like that. I don't love that.
All right, we are way up against it in typical Fan Sports Network fashion. So we take a break, come back, and wrap up hour one here on Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan. So we were talking about best single game performances inspired by Nick Kurtz of the Athletics last night, hitting four home runs. And Rashad brought up a great one that I do remember watching this one live as well. Because I want to say this was a primetime game as well. I think it was
Sunday or Monday night game. It was one of those two.
The Patriots versus the Titans in the snow during the Randy Moss year that he was with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And the Patriots just absolutely destroyed the Titans, 59-0. Like, there are so many different little stat lines and things you can look at this game that just, again, point to how dominant of a game and victory it was, not just for the Patriots, but again, like Tom Brady in the snow, 29 for 34, six touchdowns, 380 yards. I mean, hell, even Brian Hoyer got some run and he went 9 for 11 for 52. For the Titans, Kerry Collins went 2 for 12, negative 7 yards. Vince Young went 0 for 2. Like, it was combined passing, the Patriots 38 for 45, six touchdowns, 426 yards. For the Titans, 2 for 14, negative 7 yards with two picks. Wes Welker, 10 catches, 150. Randy Moss, 8 catches for 129. He had three touchdowns. Kevin Falk, remember him? I know you do.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, that game goes down as one of the biggest just ass beatings of all time in any sport.
Oh, man. And mind you, that was the third year of the Randy Moss Tom Brady kind of whole thing. My first year they went undefeated ish, you know, they lost in the Super Bowl. The second year they Brady got hurt game one of the season or something like that. Like first couple plays, Brady went out for the season. And so this is the third year.
The Matt Cassel season.
Yeah, the Matt Cassel season. And so this is the third year of that project. And so it should be noted, the Titans were terrible. The Titans were already 0-5 going into that game. Like, they weren't expected to do anything. And, man, Tom Brady and Randy Moss, just it was all deep balls the entire time. Man, just goes, flies, whatever you want to call them. That's all they were doing the entire time. And Randy Moss is my favorite receiver of all time, my favorite football player of all time. Just his stride and the things that he could do once he got there, and he could jump out of the stadium. Like, Randy Moss was a cheat code in anything. He, Michael Vick, are the greatest Madden characters of all time because there's nothing you can do about them. You throw them the ball or you give them the ball and it's a wrap. So, yeah, I remember that game in the snow and they killed them like 56-0, 57-0.
Yeah, 59-0.
Yeah, it was crazy. That's not even like – there should be like a mercy rule in football, in sports. Like, all right, man, like – y'all got us. It's the third quarter and you guys are seriously.
We're good here.
It's 44, 46. Like, listen, we can go ahead and wave the white flag at this point. We don't need to finish this game.
Well, it just honestly, the most eye opening thing looking at that box score is the passing aspect of it. Like, in a snowy game like that, one team was both quarterbacks, the starter and the backup, were both able to complete passes and move the ball downfield. And the other team was completely inept at being able to do so.
And more than that, you had two guys on a team that had over 120 yards receiving. That's the crazy part. Like, usually you have one receiver that did an amazing job, and another one that probably did a serviceable job, maybe not over 100 yards, or probably got a nice 75 to 80 yards, which is awesome as a receiver. You know, you get that many yards a game, and that's great. So to have Wes Welker have 150 yards and two touchdowns, and then Randy Moss have 129 and three touchdowns, like off of eight catches for Randy Moss. Like, They were mixtaping those fools out there. Like it was fun to watch because I'm a Patriots fan, but I can imagine if you hated the Patriots, you were super pissed off watching that.
That was one of those. I feel like I've had this happen at different points in my life where like there are teams that I absolutely hated because they are winning and they're successful, but then they just did something, whether it was over a game or a series, where I was just like, I can't even hate anymore.
You guys
are just that much better than everybody else out there.
That's how I felt for a long time about watching the Warriors. You know, at first it was irritating.
See, that never happened for me. I still hate the Warriors.
Watching Steph dance and stuff like that is like, bro, pack these dudes up. I can't stand the Warriors. But then you watch like how effortless it is sometimes for Steph, and it's like, man, I can't even be mad at that. Or watching Patrick Mahomes and watching him like do a behind the back pass or some type of weird shovel and be like, damn it, bro. Like, I want to hate you, but I can't. You're so cold.
It happened with the Spurs in that the finals against the Heat where they won. I believe it was 4-1.
The second year.
Yeah, ran them out of the building. Yeah, exactly. That was one where I was just like, dude, I can't. I hated the Spurs. But after that series, it was one of those where I was like, I can't anymore.
See,
I was like, they are just fundamentally better than everyone at basketball.
Yeah, Tim Duncan is one of my two favorite players of all time, so I would always root for him to do well. But yeah, I remember because, mind you, the year prior to that, the Spurs lost, and Tim Duncan's only blemish, Greg Popovich's only blemish, is LeBron James and that Heat team, you know, from 2013, I think, that got them. And so the next year, yeah, they boat raced them. You're not going to beat us twice.
On the text line, someone brings up Connor Holiday of Washington State versus Jared Goff in Cal 2014. Connor Holiday finished that game 49 of 70, 734 yards passing, 6 touchdowns. Jared Goff had 527 and 5 touchdowns, but 734 and 6 touchdowns. I mean, that's Washington State to a T, where they're just airing it out the entire time, but 734 yards, 6 touchdowns. And of course, that game, what time did it kick off at? 7:30. That's Pac-12 after dark right there.
That's
a classic Pac-12 after dark matchup.
I'll be honest, don't miss Pac-12 after dark. Got to be honest, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of Pac-12 after dark, but I mean, sometimes every now and then you get a huge gem in there. We talk about great performances, and he had a bunch of them. I'm not sure if you remember the quarterback from Hawaii, Colt Brennan.
Oh yeah.
But he used to put up numbers like every week. Like it was the only time, besides my guy Alex Green, shout out to my man Alex, only time I would actually really turn on Hawaii football or try to actively find Hawaii football is to see Colt Brennan do crazy, crazy work out there.
All right, let's wrap up hour number one, move it to hour number two here on Sports Saturday. NFLPA team grades are out. Love looking at these because these are the players voting on their franchises in a bunch of different categories. And it's always fun to look at, you know, what teams get the best grades and if that has any correlation to their on-field success. But also, I just like to see what teams get really bad grades and stuff and make fun of them for it.
That's the best.
And then we're going to do a little AFC, NFC South preview in the second hour as well. But hour number two coming up of our maiden voyage on Saturday, Sports Saturday here on the Fan Sports Network.